A welcome to each one to our service this morning. A couple questions for the children in the outstart. Maybe you can give me some answers. The first one's very simple. What is tomorrow? New Year's. We call it New Year's Day. When does New Year's begin? Anyone know? 12 o'clock tonight, he says. How do you know that's true? Maybe it's a little like Christmas. Some people say we celebrate Christmas. We're not sure if that's really when Jesus was born, but that's when we celebrate it. Is that what we're doing this New Year's, just celebrating New Year's, and it might not be this day? Or how do you know when it starts? Maybe the youth can answer that question. Are you sure it doesn't happen on February 1? Do you have proof for that? I'm going to try to explain that to you this morning. The title of my sermon is A New Year, God's Gift. In order to understand what is happening, this is for you as children who perhaps don't understand. I'm continuing my exposition for you and for the adults who may not understand either. In order for us to understand what is happening, we need to review the structure and the movements of planet Earth. If you open your World Book Encyclopedia to Earth, you open up and you find pages and pages about the Earth. In my encyclopedia, I opened up, and the first thing I saw was a picture, a photograph, taken from a satellite 22,000 miles out in space. There it is. It's on the encyclopedia page. It's a picture, a photograph that was taken by that satellite. You've probably seen similar pictures. And on that picture, which looks like a ball, you see colors on that photograph. Most of the globe, or the sphere as the ball that we see on that picture, is blue-green in color. And that's the water. That's the water. And in between, you see the brown, and that's the land. So from the perspective of 22,000 miles away, the Earth looks like the shape of a ball. On the surface of the Earth, we find water, rocks, and soil. Those three basic things are what you find on the surface of the Earth. On that picture, you'll be, if you look at a picture taken like that, you will also be impressed with the fact of how little land there is. And we live on the land. We're land people. And so we think the land is big. But those who study geology tell us that only 30% of the globe is land. The other 70% is water. Turn with me to Genesis 1, verse 9 and 10. Genesis 1, verse 9 and 10. In the beginning here, God creating the earth, and God called the dry. Now we're going to start at verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters called He sees, and God saw that it was good. As I was looking at that picture, that photograph that was taken of the globe, I thought about these verses. And back in the beginning, God put all the blue together there and all the brown together. What was it like before that? Well, there was nothing. There was just water, I guess. He says, separate the water from the land. And I picture Him doing that on the globe Earth. Putting that together. Putting the Pacific Ocean over here, and the Atlantic Ocean over here, and the Indian Ocean over here, and this continent here, and this one here. This picture you see of planet Earth, if you look on a world map, you'll see that there is what's called an equator. It goes around the middle of the globe. Geologists tell us that the distance around the equator of the Earth is 7,926. No, that's the diameter. The diameter through the middle, 7,926 miles. It's interesting, intriguing to me in some ways that man has gone up, but he's never dug a hole through. I guess because that's too hard to do, maybe impossible. They've dug pretty deep, but not close to 7,000 miles. What's down there? Why aren't we as intrigued about what's in there as what's up there? That's debatable, I guess. But very big circumference at the equator. If you went around the circumference of the equator, 24,901 miles. So it's a very, very large ball. 24,901 miles. If you could build a road across the equator and drive it, which you couldn't because most of it's water or jungle that's been unexplored. But if you had a road on that equator and you drove 70 miles per hour without stopping, you'd have 356 hours of driving time, 30 days, if you drove 12 hours a day to get around there. That's how big it is. So when God created planet Earth, He created something that was very large. I'd really like to drive the equator. To start, you go down through Central America, you come to South America, and you get into Colombia, and you'd find the equator. Traveling east, you would cross the Atlantic Ocean and touch the western side of Africa in the country of Gabon. You would travel through Africa, and you come out on the east side of Africa, you would pass through Kenya and exit through the country of Somalia into the Indian Ocean. You would pass through the scattered islands of Indonesia and enter the vast Pacific Ocean. Continuing east, you would eventually reach Colombia, South America, where you began. And while you drove, 72% of the time you would drive over water. Turn with me to Job 26. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to pick out a verse. The chapter would be good reading for you in its entirety. A lot of good thoughts here, but I'm picking out verse 7. Job 26, verse 7. Job speaking, God stretched out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. That fits very well with the picture there in front of the encyclopedia of that ball that's hanging out there on nothing. The earth is one of the nine planets that travel through space around the sun. And indeed, geologists would agree with Job that it is hung on earth, nothing. The earth has three motions. Remember, we're contemplating years and how we know it is the new year. It's rather lengthy introduction here to those thoughts, but that's what we're thinking about. And the earth has three motions. You're probably most familiar with the motion of the earth as a globe in school, where you could spin it. Okay, so the earth spins on its axis. That's one of its motions. But the earth has another motion. It travels around the sun. And its third motion is that it moves through the Milky Way with the rest of the solar system. But we're going to, in the next couple of moments, contemplate the earth traveling around the sun. That's what this little diagram is behind me here. I'll finish filling it in. How long does it take the earth to go around that sun one time? Well, it takes 365 days, 6 hours, 9 minutes, and 9.54 seconds. You were on that earth. You are on planet Earth, circling the sun at an average speed of 66,000 miles per hour. And you're just about to complete a journey of 595 million miles. And that's how you know when the year ends. It is true that whoever wrote the calendar years ago could have decided that the year was going to end in springtime instead of winter. And the calendar could be written up that way. But however you would write it, it would not change the circuit of the earth rotating the sun. And it would not change the speed of the earth speeding around the sun, and it would not change the amount of time to the split second that it takes to do that. And so that's what's happening tonight at midnight at 12 o'clock. You're speeding along on this earth not by your choice. You can't change anything. You're speeding with it. Regardless if you believe in flat earth or round, you're on the journey. And tonight at midnight, you're going to reach where you were last year at midnight. Same spot. And you're going to get there right on the second. And that's been happening for thousands of years. Again and again and again. It is true that the calculations are not quite accurate. And when they first came up with these calculations and made up the calendar, they thought they were right, but they weren't quite. And so that's why we have leap years. That's why we have leap years, to catch up to time that goes there, and I won't go into all the leap years. We have divisions of time. Man has had divisions of time for centuries. Children, you can help me again. 60 seconds equals what? 1 minute. And 60 minutes equals 1 hour. And 24 hours equals 1 day. And 365 days equals 1 year. We've divided it up that way. That is divisions of this earth doing this. We've come up with ways to divide it. We can't change how long it takes to go around, but we divide it into pieces. Turn with me to Genesis 8. Genesis 8, verse 22. God speaking to Noah after the flood. Verse 20, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Verse 22 especially. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So this earth, this planet earth, orbiting around the sun at a spectacular speed with excellent precision, is spinning on its axis at the same time, giving us summer, winter, autumn. How do you know man has it figured out right? Well, it's because springtime always comes at the same time. If the geologists had this all wrong, after a while we'd be having spring in July and winter in September. But it never happens because it's in place. Man has only measured what God has put in place. The sun this morning came up at 7:27 a.m. And it's going to go down this evening at 4:57. It's going to slip under the horizon. And tomorrow morning, it's going to come up a couple minutes earlier and go down a couple minutes later. And that's all because of this. because of how God created it. And we know that we're past the shortest day of the year, so we know each day is going to get a little longer. And you can prove that on your kitchen window or wherever the east window is of your house. Make a little mark where the sun is. Write the time when it gets there. Watch it tomorrow. Watch it a month from now. See if it changes windows in your house till July. And see if it does the same thing next year. It will. I promise. Because of God. The year that God created. You think about God's involvement in your yearly travels through space. And it should help you to know how to celebrate the new year. It should help you to know how to do that. I believe it's worth celebrating. It's worth our contemplation because it's God's gift to us. That is truly miraculous. And it is one of the things that doesn't change. So that's how we know that it's New Year's tonight at midnight. We think of New Year's, we think of new things. And what a blessing it is that we can lay the old things behind and look forward to the new things in a new year. It would be worth your contemplation to sit down and make a list of new things that you expect to happen in the new year. I did that. I'm going to share a few of those with you. There are many, many more, I'm sure. Of course, in this new year, the Lord willing, and time continuing, the Bible says that time, there's coming a time when time will be no more and this will stop. But as long as time continues, there will be new days in the coming year. There'll be new sunrises. There'll be new minutes of time. And in the new days, there will be 365 of them. So never tell anyone you don't have enough time to do something because you have exactly the same amount of time that I have and exactly the amount of time that God gave you. The problem is not that you don't have enough time. So we're going to see new days and new minutes and new moons and new sunsets. I don't know if you have any trips planned or not, but if you do, you're going to see some new sights that you haven't seen before. About 15 days, Lord willing, I plan to fly to the country of Liberia in Africa, a place I have never been to. And I'm looking forward to seeing sights that I have never seen while there and in going there. In the new year, you will probably enter new places. Even if you don't have a big trip planned, maybe you'll enter a new place in the woods that you've never been to before. And you will enjoy the beauty that is there. And the beauty that is there will probably be slightly different than it was last spring, even if you were there. So there's new beauties. There's new drops of rain. There will be. In the springtime, there's going to be new plants, millions of them. In this new year, there's going to be new opportunities. There's going to be new sermons that you've never heard before preached over this pulpit. There's going to be new spiritual light. There's going to be new inspirations in your life. there's going to be new songs. Maybe some that some of you have written, a new song. Or maybe someone will teach you a song that you've never heard before. I trust they will in the coming year, a new song. You can think of more new things. But if time continues, they will arrive. New things that we can look forward to. What a blessing. Thinking just a little bit about time. I don't know who it was that put this together, but I've read it in numerous different books here and there. It seems to have some merit. Someone has said that the average Christian who lives to be 75 years old spends, he divided those 75 years all up, and here's what he said an average Christian does in 75 years. He spends 6 months in worship. Spends 6 years eating. 9 years in amusement. And 7.5 years dressing himself. 6 years traveling. 19 years working. And 23 years sleeping. I would challenge you to think about that in the next month of your life. I trust your chart doesn't look that way. But in reality, it's probably closer to that than you would like to admit. What are we doing with time? In closing, I have 6 points. 6 things that I believe the Bible says we should take time for. And I am going to turn to the references on each of them. I believe they are worthy things to take time for in the new year. Psalm 55. Turn with me there. Psalm 55. Psalm 55 and verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Take time in the new year to call out to God in prayer. Take time to pray. 1 Peter 2. You can turn there with me. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2, reading verses 1 through 3. This is the second thing I believe we should take time for. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He tells us some things to lay aside. In verse 1, he tells us to be as newborn babes, but instead of desiring natural milk, we should desire the milk of the Word. So take time in the new year to read God's Word. Take time to read God's Word and desire it as a newborn baby desires his milk. And then you will find that the Lord is gracious. Point number three, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, reading verses 23 through 25. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Take time to go to church in American language. Take time to go to church. Exhort one another. Don't forsake assembling with the saints. And so much more as you see the day approaching. Certainly we see the day approaching when time will be no more. So take time to go to church. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Take time to sing. Take time to sing. I appreciate our singing at church, the emphasis we have on singing in church and school. And I love to hear people sing. Singing is one of the things that you can do while you're doing something else. And so, this is one that you can overlap with. I'll confess that I'm not very good at singing while I work. I find that a lot of people do that, and I'm not. That's not my tendency, but I love to hear people singing while they work. Take time to sing to the God of heaven who gave us a new year. 2 Thessalonians verse 3. 2 Thessalonians verse 3. Chapter 3 and verse 10. For even when we were with you, this was commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Have you children ever had your parents tell you that? If you don't work, you can't eat? Well, here it is. They were taking a verse out of the Bible. If you aren't willing to work, then don't expect to eat. And so, while it can be overdone, take time to work. Take time to work. Lastly, Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. Beginning at verse 30. Mark 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. In the new year, in spite of how busy you are, in spite of how desperate you may feel to accomplish the task that you haven't yet accomplished, take time to rest. Shall we kneel for prayer? Our great, all-wise God in heaven, we thank you for creating the years. We thank you for your incomprehensible ability and the precision that is in the year. We thank you for springtime and summer and autumn and winter. Thank you that they have not changed, but that you have kept planet Earth in orbit at its right pace to give us the seasons. We pray that as we cross the threshold of another year tonight, that we would take time to meditate on your greatness. That we would acknowledge that the new year is not ours, but yours. And that you have given it to us as a gift to use. We thank you that you have blessed our service here this morning. We thank you for each of the children present. We thank you for our youth. We thank you for the middle-aged parents we have, many of them in our midst. May you bless them as they endeavor to teach and raise their families for you. May we each honor and glorify you in the coming year, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home.